Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
How's everybody doing today?
Very good.
All right, Mitchell, good. It's good you're doing good. All right, well, it's great to be together today, and I hope you guys are really, really excited to be here. Isn't it new? Just awesome to have new life in our church with little babies looking passed around back there. And we had a second little one born last night. And it's just really, really awesome to see the, you know, just family being built in the church and as we move forward. But again, welcome today. I hope you're here to really learn about God and really be inspired through the Word. And so as you heard today is Antoine's last day with us. However, he told me that we can still pray for him, that he gets something, come back to school here in Alabama. So I'm praying for him to come back. But it's been really, really awesome having you be a part of the family for the past year. He just got baptized, right? The day before he came out here, before he moved to Alabama. And he's been just a faithful brother since that time. And so we're going to miss you so much. But again, welcome today. And let's go ahead. Let's really start out today with a prayer. And we'll get started with the lesson. Father, thank you so much, God, just for your love for us. Thank you, Lord, that you care for each and every one of us, God. Thank you for the family that continues to be built. And God, thank you for the newest additions to our family, the two little ones that were born in the past couple of weeks. And Father, we're just so grateful, God, for how you take care of us and love us. And Father, we just ask today that your Spirit would fill us up, God. Really give us a connection with you and the Scriptures. Help us, God, to just get some faith pumped into us. Father, I know there's times where we all need that. There's times when we need to get our faith built up. And Father, I just really pray that today will be one of those days that we get our faith built up in you, God, because we know you can do anything in our lives. Father, we love you so much. We're so grateful for you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want to thank you guys for praying for Marge. Just kind of give you a little bit how she's doing. The doctors actually told her after the second week of taking chemo and radiation would probably be getting on to the harder weeks. And yet what I've seen is that Marge has gotten better over the weeks. And so I just want to thank you guys for praying, because I really do believe in the power of prayer, that we can go through. You know, we don't like all the bad stuff she's getting, you know, all the drugs and all that. We believe a lot in the natural stuff, but either way, it doesn't matter what you believe in. Really, the main thing, the one who's really going to cure her is God. And so we really, really appreciate your prayers for her in all this. But today we're going to talk about having a faith lift.
Come on.
And faith lift, survive or thrive. Okay, so we're going to be talking a little bit about faith today. Okay, so we're not talking about a facelift. Okay, we have a couple. These are, I don't know who she is, Versace or something like that. I don't know. I don't know. I have the name wrong. But if it's somebody famous, I know that, because I looked up famous facelifts, and that's not very good, right? And you all know this one, right? Joanne Rivers, or what's her name? Joan Rivers. Yeah, Joan Rivers. You know, she kind of changed. And then we all know this one right here, right? And, you know, and so not all the time. And people do these things to try to make themselves look better. They do these things because they're not happy with where they are. But what we're talking about today is not about a facelift. Today is about getting your faith lifted. And I think that's much more important than really even how we look. Getting our faith lifted and flying high in our faith. And I've noticed for myself that in the... You don't like this picture? No one likes this picture? Okay. Well, we'll go to the first scripture there. Okay, you all... All right, so we'll talk about faith, all right? Is that better? I think all of us, we go through times in our faith where our faith has been flying high, right? And all of you guys have been there at one point or another, right? Where your faith is just like, you can believe, you know, somebody can tell you something that just seems absolutely impossible. And you just believe it because you have faith in it. You have faith in God and you know things are going to happen. And you don't question and you don't doubt, you know. And we feel like we're walking through life like walking on water. Like no matter what happens around us, it really doesn't matter. No matter what's going on in our life, no matter what school's telling us, no matter what's going on at work, no matter how much money we have in our bank accounts, you know, we're just flying high because we really, really believe. But then there's other times we get to a point where we feel like, man, I'm just a little bit weak in my faith. And I don't know if you guys have ever been at that point. I feel like lately I've come to just, you know, I feel like the last few weeks I'm sharing about things I'm going through and learning. But I felt, you know, one of the things I'm discovering about myself is I just need a lot more faith. I need to believe in the impossible again. I remember years ago coming out of the waters of baptism, I just believed that, I mean, you could tell me whatever, and I just believed that it didn't matter. My life was going to go in this awesome, incredible way because God was in control. I didn't have to worry about a thing. But you know how as life goes on and things happen, especially what's been going on in our family, you know, there's just, you know, you get to these things that come in life that make you kind of not really doubt, but really kind of do, you know, you just kind of feel like, man, I don't know. I don't know if things are going to go well, and I don't know if things are going to go right. And so I really felt it was important for me to share this about myself, but also for the church, because I really feel like we need a faith lift. We need to get our faith. No matter where you might be one of the people today that are flying really, really high in your faith. That's okay. It can still get lifted up more. You know, you may be one of those people kind of in the middle. That's okay. If you're maybe down at the bottom, it's okay. Because we all need the scriptures and we all need each other. And we'll see today that we really need to get our faith built up. Let's look in James chapter 2 in verse 5. He says, "Listen, my dear brothers and sisters. Has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith? And to inherit the kingdom he promised those who love him." And so when I look at this scripture here, it talks about being rich. You know, we all want to be rich, right? But this talks about being rich in faith. Typically what we think about being rich is this, right? We think about, you know, that is what is going to make a person happy. Yeah, that is a lot of cars, you know. But you got one for every day of the week, and then in case one breaks down, you got a couple extra, I think. Yeah, so. And so typically what we think about when we think about being rich, we think about this kind of richness, that we can have all the cars and the big house, and one day I can be famous. But the amazing thing is that when we became Christians, you know, God made us, he allowed us to be rich in our faith. He allowed us to have this richness, this something in us that really will push us forward in life, that will help us to believe in things that are seemingly impossible. You know, it says here, those rich in faith will be wealthy in happiness. Mm-hmm. You know, have you ever noticed that the people that are very, very happy are the same people that really believe? They just believe in God. They believe that God's going to get them through. Now, doesn't mean everything in your life's going to go perfect. No. But even through the hard times, it's really easy to have, again, you know, it's easy to have all these things in the easy times. You know, but when you go through things, you know, are you extremely happy? And, you know, you can be happy because happiness doesn't come from our surroundings. It comes from the faith that we have in Jesus. And so, we're going to talk about a faith lift today, getting this faith built up. Does anybody here need a faith lift today? Okay, some of you guys don't, right? But a lot of you guys do, and I know I need to have my faith lifted. Faith is something that's so important, and I read this scripture in Hebrews 11:6, it says, "And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. When I look at this, I see how important it is for me to have great faith, right? Because it says there that without faith, it's impossible for me to please God. That's a pretty big statement. I want to please God, and I think you guys are here today because you want to please God. And so we got to make sure that no matter where you are in your faith right now, we always got to make sure that we're constantly working and getting this faith lift, that our faith is always increasing. It's always moving forward. Yes, you're going to get to these times where you have a little doubt and a little insecurity about things, but that doesn't mean you don't work through them and keep on going high. It's so important that this is how we please God, by having faith. All right, so turn over to 1 Thessalonians. And we're going to see a church here that had some faith. 1 Thessalonians in verse 2, it says, "We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ." You skip down a few verses there in verse 7, and it says, and so you have become a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. So Paul was writing this letter to the church in Thessalonica, and he was making a point. He was saying, you know, you guys are well known for your faith. Your work, we knew about. We remember the work produced by that faith. Because when a church has faith, when they believe in the impossible, that's when you really see God start opening the doors. You see people start to change. You see people coming out of the world and just saying, you know, turning their lives over to Christ and getting baptized. We see all this, and that's probably what was happening here. They were known for this. They saw the work that was being produced by their incredible faith. And then in verse 7, it says, you became the model. That's pretty cool. This church became the model church to all the believers. And not just in a couple of cities, but it says that your faith has become known everywhere. Your faith has been known. We know, we've heard about, you know, it wasn't like today. You can imagine how easy would it be to hear about things that were happening in other churches. You know, we go on our internet. We can go to, to Disciples Today. We can hear about all the churches around the world. It's amazing. Well, back then, I would assume that it probably had to go more word of mouth. So whatever they were doing, whatever was going on, this faith that they had was so incredibly high that it was going from person to person to person, and people in other cities knew about it. People everywhere knew about the faith of these people that were part of this church. That's a pretty cool thing, isn't it? I mean, wouldn't that be cool to have, you know, that not even because of the internet or anything like that, but there was so much faith going on in the Auburn Tuskegee Christian Church that people around the world were hearing of the testimonies of your faith. I mean, I think that would be really, really awesome. And that's what was happening here. You know, there is just incredible amount of faith that was going on. And so we read a little bit further into Thessalonians. We get to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. And Paul writes here, he says, "So when we could stand it no longer, we thought it best to be left by ourselves in Athens. We sent Timothy, who is our brother and co-worker in God's service in spreading the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you in your faith, so that no one would be unsettled by these trials. For you know quite well that we are destined for them. In fact, when we were with you, we kept telling you that that we would be persecuted. And it turned out that way, as you well know. For this reason, when I could stand it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith. I was afraid that in some way the tempter had tempted you, and that our labors might have been in vain. And so here now, Paul, because of what the church was going through in Thessalonica, they were going through obviously a lot of time of persecution. Back then, persecution was pretty rough. It wasn't just calling names, people were dying, stuff like that. You know, there was a lot of persecution going on. And Paul was he was a little bit concerned about the church there, right? And so he said he was going to send Timothy to go there, and he was going to send him there to do what? To strengthen and encourage you in your faith. So Paul was thinking, well, their faith might be a little bit down because of the things that the church was going through. So I'm going to send our brother Timothy there, and he's going to go there, and he's going to strengthen that church. And then, you know, he says on down further, he says, when he couldn't stand it, I sent to find out about your faith. Paul was not just concerned, but he had question. You know, he wanted to know, how was the faith of this church doing? And I forgot to put this scripture down, but if you look in verse 6 of that, can somebody read verse 6? Who can read verse 6? Yes. Either one.
But Timothy has just now come to us from you and has brought good news about your faith and love. He has told us that you always have pleasant memories of us and that you long to see us, just as we also long to see you.
Okay, so what they found out when Timothy got there, that the faith was good, right? So that's a good thing. Their faith was high, even though Paul had reason to believe that the faith maybe had not been so high. Okay? And so faith is something that we all get when we all became Christians, we had a lot of faith. And just like these people, but there was a concern because of things that they were going through in life. Have you ever noticed that their faith kind of goes up and down as things happen in our life?
Yep.
You know, faith is something, I wish my faith was always flying high, but there's been times where I just like, God, I don't know why I'm here. I don't know how effective am I being? And you start questioning things in your life. And so Paul was just loving this church in Thessalonica, and he had some concern, and he wanted to know. And so I really felt like, you know, I was thinking like, wonder if Paul was thinking about our church and he had to ask this, or he did the same thing. He sent Timothy to the Auburn Tuskegee Christian Church to find out about our faith. And more specifically, he was sent to the Auburn Tuskegee Christian Church to find out about your faith. So Timothy went and came here. Let's say Timothy was alive today and he came here and he sat down with you in a one-on-one conversation because he was going to go back to Paul and he was going to say how awesome or how not awesome your faith was. So the question is what would Timothy say about your faith? What would Timothy say about the level of faith that you have right now? You know, would he say that you're either surviving or are you thriving? Okay, are you surviving or are you thriving? So what surviving is, and you guys know survival mode, right? Survival mode, you're just doing enough to get by. Thriving mode is when you have so much faith, you have enough to give away and you're giving away to everybody else around you. You got so much faith in you. And so my question for you this morning is, are you surviving or are you thriving in your faith? Are you surviving or are you thriving? You know, things that take our faith from thriving to just surviving, because I think at one time or another, all of us are thriving in our faith. I mean, we all, when we found out about Jesus, we were all at that point was like, yes, I can do anything because now I understand who Jesus is. You know, but the things that take us from thriving to just surviving, I wrote down four. There's probably more. The first one I think about is sin. Right? When we have sin that goes on in our life, that takes us from this point of really just fired up faith. We're thriving. But then you get into that sin and you think, somehow when we get into a lot of sin, what happens? And I don't know if you've ever experienced this. You get into some sin and then all of a sudden, everything just becomes negative. You look, your whole viewpoint on life becomes negative because of the sin that you're struggling with. Okay, so sin is one thing that can really bring down our level of faith in our life. You know, discouragement. When we look around us and we say, oh, there's this going on and there's that going on, and man, I got so many tests coming up at school, and I'm getting overwhelmed. I've heard the word overwhelmed in this church over the last few weeks more than I've ever heard that word. I've heard people say, I'm overwhelmed. And I think, well, that's kind of the same as discouragement, you know, that maybe it's not so much the overwhelmed. The question maybe is, where's your faith really at? Another thing is hardship. You know, when we go through things that are hard, whether it's you lose a job or you go through sickness like we're going through, or you go through, you know, whatever, maybe grades are coming up and you didn't get the grade that you want, and things like that can just really kind of turn a switch in our mind, and we just get to that point where our faith starts going backwards. When we have doubt or unbelief, maybe there's something so big going on in your life that, you know, before everything, you just had holy faith in God, and now this new thing came up in your life, and you start questioning, wow, I had, you know, and really, I can be honest, that's what I've been going through, is even thinking about, I've never had to deal with, you know, with cancer and stuff like that, but now we're going through something I've never had to deal with, and there's been times where I've just like, there's doubt and unbelief, like, will God really, really come through on this? Now, I know He will, but I think we all got to look at these situations, because these are some of the four big ones that I think where we can have thriving faith and it just goes kind of downward to surviving. And I know even over the last weeks, you know, we've talked to, you know, quite a few people that have either been in the discouragement or a lot of sin stage too. And so something tells me that not all, you know, I wanted to do this because I think, yeah, it's cool that Paul would send Timothy here, but I also want to encourage the faith in this church, because I really think that the faith in this church could be a lot higher. I really believe that there's some of us, not all of us, I think some people's faith is really awesome, but I have had a lot of appointments where there's just a lot of sin and a lot of discouragement going on in people's lives. And so today we're going to talk about how to get that, to take that out of the state of survival and to get our faith back in a place that's thriving again. Okay, so we can't see the top of this, but this side over there is survival mode, and this is thriving, surviving and thriving. And so these are how you can tell whether you're in one of these two categories. Okay, so someone that is surviving in their faith, they do the minimum requirement. So basically, if you know, what's the minimum requirement of being a Christian? Well, I got to be there at church on Sunday. And I probably need to go to midweek, even though I've seen some people make that optional. But that is kind of where we are if we're in the survival mode. Things become optional, and I'm just going to do the minimum requirement. Someone that's surviving, they do more than what's asked. They don't need someone to say, hey, can you do this for me? No, they're like already on top of things. They're going after it. You know, people that are missing quiet times, that's surviving. You know, I'm just doing enough just to keep myself alive. That's like being on life support. You know, you're really not breathing too much, but man, I had one quiet time last week that kind of kept me up this whole week. But then there are people that are in the thriving where they make time for quiet times. There's no doubt in their mind, like, there's nothing that's going to come up in the way. No school, no work, no schedule, nothing is going to come up in the way of that time with the Lord. The world becomes more attractive in survival mode, but in thriving mode, you're set apart from the world, meaning you're doing everything possible to stay away from sin. And I like this one. The next one on survival is schedule dictates relationship with God. As opposed in thriving, relationship with God dictates schedule. And this is one I think is so important. And you got to ask yourself, do you allow your situation, your schedule to dictate your relationship with the Lord? You know, I remember as a young Christian, I was forced to go and I had to go talk to my manager at work. And here I was a kid. And I went up there and I stood up. I said, I am not coming in on Sundays. They wanted to do all kinds, but I was in a union. And I went to complain to the union. Finally, I got my Sundays off and I was not going to do anything. I said, I was making great money. I said, you can fire me or you're going to have one of the best workers. And I was a hard worker. And I just remember I was flying so high in my faith that it really didn't matter if they got rid of me because I knew God was going to take care of me. Do you let your schedule dictate your relationship with God? Or do you let your relationship with God dictate your schedule? You know, someone who's just surviving, you stop sharing your faith. Someone that's in thriving mode can't stop talking about Jesus because they have so much faith. You know, survival, sin becomes the norm. Thriving mode, quickly repenting of sin. Doesn't mean you're not going to sin, but you quickly are open, you quickly repent. And because you have faith that God's going to see you through this and help you to change. It's not like one person is better than the other. We're all on an even playing field. But the question is are you just surviving or are you thriving in your faith? Prayer life is weak, or someone is thriving, they pray constantly. The last one there, survival mode, complains about the church. You know, oh, this is happening, and the reason why things are not going great is because this person did this. And you may not even be complaining, but maybe it's just a mental thing. But we complain about, or someone that's thriving in their faith, what they do is they find a way to make things better. And the reason why they can do that is because they know that the power of God can fix anything. They know it. So if they see a situation where something's going wrong in the church, maybe relationships are messed up or whatever, they know and they walk in there with confidence, not their own confidence, but they can know that because of Jesus, the situation can change. So again, I want you to ask yourself, are you surviving in your faith? Or are you thriving? Are you thriving and you just believe that Jesus can do it, whatever it is? You know, you see the guy there. That's what people look like when they're kind of just surviving. They kind of feel tired. They kind of just feel down and tired. But someone is thriving. They're flying high. Let's look over in Matthew. And we're going to look at a story here about faith. And this is in Matthew 17 in verse 14. This is Jesus heals the demon-possessed boy. When they came to the crowd, a man approached Jesus and knelt before him. Lord, have mercy on my son. He said, he has seizures and is suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire or into the water. I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him. Now, this guy was in pretty bad shape, right? I mean, he was having seizures and he kept on falling into fire and into water. That's not a very good situation. Jesus says here, he says, you unbelieving and perverse generation, Jesus replied. How long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me. Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy, and he was healed at that moment. Then the disciples came to Jesus in private and asked, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" He replied, "Because you have so little faith. Truly, I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it'll move. Nothing will be impossible for you." When they came together in Galilee, he said to them, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. They will kill him, and on the third day he will be raised to life." And the disciples were filled with grief. And so this is an amazing story here. So these guys, you know, this guy was in really, really bad situation. And I mean, can you imagine having seizures? You're falling into fire. I mean, that just doesn't, I can't even comprehend what was going on here. But somehow he must have been around a lot of fire and water to keep on getting, going back in there. But the disciples went up to him and they thought, well, we can go and we can heal this guy. So they go up and I don't know what they do, but they try to heal him and it just doesn't work. And so the guy comes up and he says, you know, comes to Jesus and basically he says that, you know, they tried to do it, but it didn't happen. And then the disciples asked, well, why couldn't we do it? Why couldn't we drive out these demons? And Jesus says, because you have such little faith. You know, survival mode, little faith, does not bring miracles in our lives. I think sometimes we want huge miracles to happen. And the way that we have, you know, that we, it's an easy way for us to have faith is, well, we don't have to do anything. We just watch it happen. But, you know, if we don't have faith ourselves to do the actions, we're not going to see a lot of miracles happen in our lives. And sometimes we ask ourselves, well, God, why don't I see you working in my life? Why do I feel a little bit discouraged? Why do I feel like I just don't have that faith right now? And it's really just because we're in survival mode. And I really think that these disciples at this time, in this situation, I think they were in survival mode as well. I think that, I don't know if it was so much the little faith, because you'll see in the next sentence that little faith is okay. But I think that what little faith they had was based upon themselves. It wasn't based upon Jesus. So in other words, they went up to this guy to try to heal him, but they tried to heal him with their own power is what I think happened. I don't know. It doesn't really say. It just says that, you know, you guys have such little faith. But little faith just really, that kind of faith doesn't produce miracles in our lives. You know, thriving faith opens the door for God's miracle to happen. It opens the door. When we have faith, it's amazing how God comes through and he does amazing things in our life. You know, he goes on there to say that all you need is faith as small as a mustard seed. Somebody gave me a mustard seed one time. And it was in a card. They said, you know, something about faith. And here's the mustard seed is, I mean, it really is literally. That looks like a big hand. It's so small, it's not even funny. He says, you just got to have faith like a mustard seed. And with that faith, what will happen, you're going to be able to move mountains. Now, we don't have many mountains here in Alabama, right? Do we? Well, not right here. See, I haven't been around everywhere. Where's the good mountains at? Where's the biggest mountain around here?
Mount Sheehaw is about 1,800 or so, almost 2,000 feet.
Okay.
A little bit north of this, but we're in the eroded roots of mountains.
Okay. We're the eroded roots of the mountains. I didn't know that. Okay. Well, see, I learned something too. But now, can you imagine you trying to throw that mustard seed at that mountain and trying to move it, trying to get it to budge off its place a little bit? It would never happen, right? Because the size of that mustard seed is almost nothing compared to the 2,000 whatever mountain that was here in Alabama, right? But that's what Jesus said. He said, you know, he said there that because you have so little faith, truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain to move from here to there, and it's going to move. Nothing will be impossible for you. You know, that little seed is going to move a mountain. You know, what mountains need to be moved in your life? I think all of us have a mountain in our life that's, you know, we're faithful in a lot of different areas. You know, you may be faithful in this, 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 and this, but maybe just going out there and sharing your faith with somebody is where you lack faith. Because you don't know if that person's going to be open or what they're going to say. Or you may be faithful in all this, 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 and this, but then you look at your bank account and you go, wow, is God ever going to come through for me in this area? You know, and so I want you to ask yourself this morning, what areas do we need to have that faith of a mustard seed? Because it's not a whole lot of faith. If you ever had a mustard seed, they're so small. That's all you need. You just need a little bit of faith. And what God does from there is He does the work. Yeah. But what are those mountains in your life? You know, maybe it's school or work. You know, maybe that's been a mountain. And I know for a lot of us, we have finals coming up. You know, maybe you've even kind of stepped back on your relationship with God. Maybe events now have become optional because we're studying and all that. And studying is great, don't get me wrong. But I think sometimes because we lack the faith, you know, we don't see that and see that mountain can actually move if all we have is that mustard seed of faith. Maybe it's our finances. You know, we got special contribution, as Bill talked about, next week. And that's every year we do that. And we collect money, and it's going to be a sacrifice for all of us. But you may be looking and going, man, I just don't have anything to give. And how is God going to really work this in my life? You know, and I appreciate, I hear some people, I think Lorena, I heard people doing things to raise money and stuff like that. I appreciate that, because that means that it's not about what money's in your bank account. It's about the faith that you have in Jesus. You know, maybe it's overcoming that sin. Maybe something you've been working on for maybe ever since you've been a Christian and feeling like, wow, I don't know if I can ever overcome this sin. Maybe it's fruitfulness, being fruitful, baptizing your friend, or maybe it's hardship that you're going through. Maybe it's depression. Maybe sometimes, you know, I think sometimes we don't talk about this, but I think depression is big, and sometimes we think that even Christians can never be depressed. And that's just not true. But maybe we need to have faith in that area, maybe even faith just to talk to somebody about it. Maybe faith to believe that God can get us through that. Maybe it's being bold. Maybe it's our laziness. Maybe it's our fear. I don't know what your mountain is. You know, maybe it's your marriage or your family. You know, my marriage is just this way, and it's just never going to change. This is just who we are. Maybe it's just going to take that mustard seed of faith to turn that thing around. Maybe it's dreams that never happened. You know, maybe you planned something big in your life, and it just never came to be. Relationship issues, prayers not answered, and then you fill in the blank, whatever it is for you. But I want you to really see that all it's going to take is a mustard seed of faith. All it's going to take is a little bit of faith in Jesus to know that He can work through every one of these situations we listed and everything else as well. You know, we got to believe that again. Because that was the whole principle. When we became a Christian, I remember when I got out of the water of baptism, and I think you did too, we believed that Jesus was going to do incredible things in our life. We didn't doubt. There was no doubt in my mind, none, that God was going to do amazing things. But somehow, as life goes on, we start losing that, and we start seeing that all it's going to take, it's not a big role on my part. All I got to do is have a mustard seed of faith, and God is going to do the rest. Can someone read Matthew 17? Rob, you're a scholar. Would you mind reading Matthew 17:21? Sure. This is our scholar. Let's see if he Let's see what he comes up in his Bible. Matthew 17, 21.
Thanks for putting me on the spot. Let's see. Yeah. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting.
Okay, you're in a different version. I didn't trick you. Okay. If you're reading the NIV, actually, what version are you reading?
New King James.
New King James, so it must be in there. The NIVs actually don't have. Chris, can you read your NIV version of Matthew 17:21? No, you don't. You don't have it. So it's not there. And so if you look down in your footnotes, it is there. That was just a trick question. I thought I was going to stump Rob, and I just wasn't able to do it. But if you look down in your footnote, you should have a footnote at the bottom. It says, but this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. And the reason that wasn't put in the NIV in the Matthew version is because from what I get, what I read from a lot of the scholars, that basically they thought it was kind of taken from one of the other gospels and put in there afterwards. I don't know how true that is, but all you got to do is go to Mark 9:29, and it says it there. It says this kind can only come out with prayer. And so, you know, the trick to this is, how do we have a lot of faith? How do we get that mustard seed of faith? How do we do it? Well, we do it through prayer. We do it by going to Jesus. Sometimes we can hear over and over, you need to have your quiet times. And those, if you're not having, you can get a little bit like, oh, there he goes again, talking about them quiet times. But I want you to know this, that's a benefit for you. Because when you spend those times with the Lord, when you go to Him and you pray about the things, those impossible prayers, I'm not talking about like, you know, please let something be on TV tonight. I want to watch it. That's not an impossible prayer. Look at your TV guide. It's there. It's probably going to come on. Okay? But I'm talking about those impossible prayers. I'm talking about the things that you can't do yourself. I'm talking about the obstacles that are in your life that you have no power to overcome on your own. You know, they can only come out by prayer. That's the only way. So when we're talking about quiet times, it's not to drown it in you. Well, it is, because it's to get you to understand that it's prayer. It's going to benefit your life. It's going to benefit. And you know how it is. We talked about this earlier. Someone who's rich in faith, they're the happy people. It's going to change your whole life around when you get that mustard seed of faith that can only happen through prayer. And I want to encourage us, we need to be praying and praying and praying. I really believe that the reason Marge had a great week this week and where she's at right now is because everybody's praying for her. I really believe that. And I believe there's things in your life that if we just pray for and you let other people pray for them for you, you're going to see amazing things happen with that, just that mustard seed of faith. Prayer is super important. And then he says in verse 20, he says, nothing will be impossible for you. Nothing. That means that there is nothing. Nothing is nothing. There's nothing more. With a mustard seed of faith, that means that everything is possible. That means the sky is the limit to what God can do in your life. That's not even the limit. Do you believe that? When you wake up every day and you go to pray to God, do you pray to Him with this kind of faith, knowing that He can do impossible, He can do everything, that every single thing is possible with Him? Amen. And that's where our faith needs to be. And I know that's where I want my faith to be. That's where I want the church's faith to be, is knowing that God is the one in control. You know, we should have a church that's always on fire in their faith. And you know what? When one person's down in their faith, there's 50 others that are going to lift you up. And with that kind of support system, we're never going to allow each other never not to have faith. And this is so important, you know? And we cannot rely on each other to carry us through what we do. But what I'm saying is that we have to make sure that the church as a whole has this faith, so that when one person, maybe it's your family group leader, maybe they're the one that's lacking in faith right now, Well, that doesn't mean your family group falls apart. Maybe it's your church leader who's going through some hard times. That doesn't mean the church falls apart. What that means is everybody else, the other 50 people, carry the faith along and encourage those that don't have that faith. But everything is impossible for you and God. It is possible. Did I say impossible? Everything is possible for you. Nothing is impossible, and everything is possible. It's the same. Okay? And we know this from Ephesians 3, verse 20. It says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." God can do immeasurably more in all the things that we can even ask or imagine. I mean, think about your wildest dreams of what God can do. Think about this church. How big could this church be? Somebody told me when I first got here, they showed me that room next door, and they said, our church can be in that room soon. Have we lost that dream? Have we lost that dream, or are we believing that that's possible? Because all I got to do, imagine, is maybe 20 more people here, and God's going to bring 100 or 200 or 300. You know, maybe it's that what's going on in my family, or that relationship with my wife that's not going the right way. Well, you know, maybe I just need to pray a little bit about it, and maybe God's going to take it 100-fold and make it better. You know, but with faith, he can do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. This is not just a fairy tale. This is for your life. This is for you. That when, if you have this little bit of faith, God can do awesome things, and he will work. Last scripture, Romans 10, 17. Just wanted to add on to this. It says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. We've heard this one before, but I think this is really important. Some people say, well, how do I get to that point where I feel like praying? How do I get that point where I feel like having faith? How do I get that point where I feel like changing these things in my life? Well, the answer is very, very simple in some ways. It says that faith comes from hearing the message. Well, you know, the amazing thing is that God gave us a Bible. And that Bible, when I was a kid, we had our Bibles just stuck in a drawer. I pulled them out on Easter and Christmas, and I went to church. That was my use of the Bible, and I thought I was spiritual because I did that. But that's not what the Bible's for. The Bible is for us to grow in our faith. If you want faith, it's not because you can't have faith. If you're lacking in faith, it's not because you did something wrong not to have faith. What we just need to see is that God's Word, it's going to give us the faith that we need for whatever that mountain is in your life. Okay, so we got to end here. So how do we go from surviving to thriving? You know, wherever you are, how do we just go from just surviving to that place of thriving in our faith with God? Well, these are things we just looked at. One, Romans 10, 17, by reading your Bible. Read the Bible. Don't just have it on your shelf. Don't have somebody have to tell you every day to read it. Read it so you can benefit from it. Amen. So you can have the faith that you need. Amen. You know, how do we get to thrive? By prayer. That was Mark 9:29. By prayer, we can do it. By prayer, God. It's only possible through prayer. And then we learn from Paul, he sent Timothy all the way there in 1 Thessalonians to give them faith. Even though they didn't need it, he sent them there for that reason. We get faith from each other. Yeah. It goes down to really three basic principles that we all know. But I really believe as a church, we need to have this faith lift. We need to get the faith lift. We need to all be walking on water. It's time for a faith lift. It's time for the ATCC to thrive in our faith. It's time for us to believe the impossible. It's time for us not to see the obstacles. It's time for us to see the things that have been so hard for us to overcome and to know that with Jesus, we can all overcome it because everything is impossible and you can thrive. Amen.